Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project Podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington. If you enjoy listening to the show, please consider becoming a patron. Just a small donation of $1 a month can help us keep the project going, and you'll get rewards like buttons, access to premium content, and invites to Passionistas Project events. Today, we're talking to Stacey Newman Weldon, founder of the company Adventure Wednesdays. Stacey started taking herself on adventures to get out of a rut. This set her on a path that included little adventures, like trying a new food, to big ones, like attending Burning Man at the age of 50. Now she shares her knowledge through a course called The Adventure Solution. So please welcome to the show, Stacey Newman Weldon.
What's the one thing you're most passionate about?
I think that's probably a pretty easy answer at this point. I'm really passionate about being an adventure, about sharing adventures, about turning other people into adventurers. I was given advice, you know, years ago, how to get myself out of my own rut, out of my own head, find what I really like to do by taking myself on adventures. And, you know, the advice sort of freaked me out at the very beginning, because I thought it meant, you know, the typical definition of adventure, like adventure travel, where you go off to do extremes, like hiking in Nepal or whatever. And, you know, I couldn't do that. I had two kids and a mortgage and a full-time career and all that. And so basically the advice was do it in baby steps. And it was really a big mind shift for me as I did it. I picked Wednesdays because that was the only night I did not have my children. You know, they were over at their dad's house that night, and I could go out and I live, you know, outside of New York City. And At the time I worked in Manhattan, and it's one of the most exciting cities in the world. So why not explore it? And the big purpose was to find out what I thought was fun, because for so long I was the people pleaser, and I always just went along with whatever else anybody else was doing and said, oh yeah, that's fun. I am easygoing, but it also ended up meaning I didn't really know for sure what I like to do. So that was the start of my journey. It was just trying to find out what was fun for me. And then it just sort of expanded from there.
So what was your first adventure?
The first adventure, I actually just walked a different way home from work because I didn't really know what to do. But it's like, instead of going up, you know, the same old, you know, Park Avenue from my office to Grand Central, I decided to go out a different entrance and walk on a different side of the street and sort of just go with the flow of the traffic lights and see where it took me. And it took me down a side street that I'd never really been. And going down that street, I found some really cute restaurants. So I decided the next Wednesday, I would take myself out to one of those cute restaurants. So that was really my first one. And taking myself out to restaurants isn't really that big of a deal, because I was in advertising sales. I entertain clients out all the time. Or when I'm traveling, I'm used to eating alone. This time I had gone out with the intention that I was going to meet somebody. I was going to, you know, make friends or something, you know. And so when I went to the restaurant and I sort of just sat at the bar, and the only person I talked to was the bartender. There was nobody in the bar that I wanted to talk to, nobody that approached me. And it just, at the end of the night, sort of felt like a big failure. And I realized that was part of the adventure, was, you know, taking the risk and failing, because then I discovered what I didn't find fun. Going out to a restaurant alone to try and forcibly make friends was not what I thought was fun. So then I started, you know, that's where my curiosity kicked in and said, well, what else can I do? That's where I started like exploring other things to do besides just trying out new restaurants by myself.
What are some of the more memorable adventures that you had?
I have had so many. It's kind of crazy. It's like sometimes I have to go back through, through my Facebook post to remember them all, because there are a lot of Wednesdays in a year, about 52 of them. And I've been doing this now about 7 years. And not only that, but what's been happening is that adventures now slide into every day of the week. I mean, one of the ones that impacted me a lot was meeting my adventure partner. Because I'm of a certain age, calling him my boyfriend sounds silly because he's not a boy. And calling him a companion doesn't sound right either. So I call him my adventure partner. And we met at a very weird speed date in a yoga studio. And it was a Wednesday, and it was an adventure, and I couldn't get any girlfriends to go with me. So I went by myself. It was a very odd night, and there were really only like three guys that were of any interest to me, of which Ken was one of them. And at the end of the night, he was sort of chatting and talking with somebody else. And I'm like, oh, well, no big deal. It was a fun night. It was something just to post about and let my friends know. It was silly. And I just let go of the outcome. And then the following Monday, he actually reached out. We had a date, and then he never saw anybody else but me for the past 5 years. And we actually inspire each other to a lot of different adventures. And so one of the biggest ones I've gone was, you know, was Burning Man. I probably never would have discovered it if it weren't for Ken. And when you go to Burning Man, it's like 1,000 adventures wrapped up into one little week. And I really like it because I like going out to Burning Man. Everybody has all this, you know, these images of it being a drug infested music festival, but it's not. To me, it's a huge art event with all these art installations, and you get to see the creativity of 70,000 individuals. And to me, that's the most amazing thing ever. But it's also the small ones. Something small will just shift your mind about different things. I am running this course called The Adventure Solution. You know, it's basically for women because I want to target people who are like me because I can relate to them easier. And having women in my group calls makes it a safe container. This one woman took herself on an adventure to follow, you know, smells that brought up childhood memories. She was like in a high stress job, but she took time off to go to the beach and play with her dog like she used to do as a kid. So she was at the beach and she smelled the salty air and the sand and, you know, the hot dog smells and all that. And it just brought her back to her childhood and it just made her happy. And she hadn't felt like that stress-free kind of joy in a long time. So she kept doing it. So like then she went home and she found, you know, brownie mix in her brownie cake pans and made those. And it just brought her such joy to do things that she used to do. And it helped relieve her stress. And so it like through her own little adventures, she shifted her mindset about how to make herself happy. There's a lot of other adventures. It's like exploring New York City through different things, like through the rooftop bars or chocolate is a big thing. I love chocolate. So I've had a lot of chocolate adventures from taking people on a tour of all the best hot cocoa in Manhattan to creating a list of all the chocolate stores for a big women's empowerment seminar. I made this list of all the chocolate stores and posted the Google map. So all these women who are coming in from all over the world could go find something that women really like, chocolate. When I was down in Costa Rica, I went on a tour of a cacao farm, you know, a fair trade cacao farm. And I got to see the source of where our food comes from. And it's absolutely amazing. It almost feels like, you know, learning about the cacao tree and how, you know, chocolate grows, but it's also like the economic impact it's had on the world. Amazingly enough, pirates have a big influence on the chocolate industry. They didn't just steal treasure. They also stole chocolate. To me, that's just fascinating. You know, it's like a different way of looking at our food source. It's just kind of fun.
Do you have a dream adventure that you haven't done yet?
I have a bucket list. There are quite a few different things. I guess my biggest one, which I actually came up with now that we're talking chocolate and pirates, I think one of my biggest adventures, like I hope to do in the next, you know, 5 years is to actually write a book. I call it Pirates of the Caribbean 20, the chocolate edition. I would love to like sail around the Caribbean researching this book and then writing it with the fun aspect of Pirates of the Caribbean, but the educational aspect of how they impacted the chocolate industry. Other than that, it's things like that. I want to create different events. I want to do a chocolate and tequila taste pairing. You know, like wine and chocolate has become a new trend. And now beer and chocolate has become a trend. Apparently, the next one coming would be tequila and chocolate. And I want to do that. And then another one I want to do is maybe buying like an RV or an old school bus and converting it into a home that moves. I can't really call it a mobile home because those are those trailer park things. But nomadic, like trying nomadic living for a while where I get to travel around because that's one of my big dreams is to actually see America. Because I've traveled Europe and I've traveled, you know, internationally, and I haven't really seen as much of America as I'd like. And I think it would be fun to be able to travel and work location independently, you know, wherever I am and get to know this country.
But now you actually host guests in an Airbnb in your house. Is that right?
I do. My sons are old enough and they've moved out. So I have these empty rooms where I live in New York has the same rules as New York City, where you're only allowed to have two people max in one room. I just reached super host status, which woohoo. But what's really been great is that I've been able to meet a wide range of people and get to, you know different people and different backgrounds, and maybe not as closely as like a, you know, become friends with every single guest that comes through. But I've had young students and I've had couples who come here for weddings. I had this one energy spiritual healer guy come through, and he was just really fascinating to talk to. I've had a yoga instructor stay with us. So it's just a wide variety of people. And I am always fascinated to see who's out there. And so it's almost like having America come to me.
So you've taken all your personal adventures and come up with this seminar called Adventure Solutions. How did you turn your experience into a business?
Yes, Adventure Wednesday started off as me finding myself. And then people liked what I shared, you know, I would share with them on social media, and people liked it so much. And actually, so did my adventure partner. He bought me the URL as a birthday present. And so I started writing. I'm not a natural writer. So when I first had it, I wasn't writing consistently. So it's been a journey, you know. So my first blog was really more about just telling stories, and it was interesting for me to tell my story, to be heard. And that was a big thing in my own growth, to feel heard with stories. Then I started getting more and more discontented with my corporate life. It was just getting more and more high pressure, and it just really wasn't my joy anymore, I guess is probably the best way to put it. I transferred from one job that I'd been at for 9 years to a bigger job. And it was with a company that was very volatile. And I thought I only had a year there. And so my plan was I would be working on my blog and turning it into a business with the safety cushion of my career job. And lo and behold, I got laid off after 4 months of this big job, along with 110 other people. At first, I was all excited because it was just before Burning Man, and it meant I could go on an adventure in an RV cross country, going to Burning Man and spending actually like 2.5 weeks out there instead of the limited time that you get with corporate vacations. Then after that, I sort of got lost, I guess is probably the best way to say it. You know, it was like I start going in back for interviews in the city, and my whole body just was like revolting against it. So I knew that I really needed to start my own business. And New York State has a thing where they offer, instead of getting unemployment benefits, they will give you those benefits if you start your own business. So I started taking courses and things like that, that, you know, you also had to do to prove that you were learning and starting your business. And I started doing that. But what happened was starting my own business is so different from being in a corporate world. I could sell you millions of dollars worth of Facebook advertising, but for me as my own business, buying like even $5 of Facebook advertising was frightening to me. Creating my own ad and creating my own audience, even though I understood the concepts, trying to do it all myself was just overwhelming and scary. And then there's all the other parts of the business that go into it. So it's been an adventure starting my own business. And then realizing that I kind of came late to the blogging game, that it's like one of those things I basically understood is like, if I had started blogging in 2009, I'd probably be a millionaire by now. But now everybody has a blog, so it's not that big a deal. And making money off it through advertising and all that is really, really hard. And I have a pretty select niche. You know, I want to reach women who are feeling stuck or feeling like discontented or disconnected or anxious or in a rut or even numb, and help them shift their attitude. And so it's not an easy demographic to just say, all right, I want adults 25 to 54 who have bought a Mercedes. It's not that easy. So I've been having to learn how to reach basically me 10 years ago or 15 years ago in the different ways. And I realized that one of the things I really like to do, and this connects to my whole sales, and to me, sales is like educating people about a product. I decided I wanted to help educate women about having an adventure attitude like I have. And one of the best ways to do it is to have a course. And if I also had the other goal of becoming location independent, that's where having an online course really comes in great, because you can do that anywhere. So I developed the course, How to Have an Adventure Attitude Through the Six Senses. It was like an inspiration. It just, like, the thoughts organized itself so easily that it made sense to flow it that way. And so this is now the second year that I've had the course, and it does work really, really well. So I have been consistently working on my blog, because that's how people get to know me. Like, that's the entry point. And it's also still where I get to show my stories and inspire people. But it's the course where I can really help shift people and see that I'm shifting people. And also that's where more money can be made for me, charging for the course, because they, you know, it's valuable. It's valuable information.
Given all that, do you ever feel unmotivated?
Unmotivated. Yes, often. I guess the biggest thing that happened to me last fall, I got diagnosed with adrenal fatigue. Chronic stress syndrome, I guess, is another way to look at it. And in a way, it was almost like my whole body was recovering from the fact that I was in a high stress job for so long that it was taking time to adjust. I mean, you've probably heard about people who have been working in big jobs and then retire and all of a sudden die of a heart attack. It's that kind of thing. It's a big shift because I'm sitting here alone in front of my computer, whereas I used to be with a whole lot of coworkers and out socializing with clients. And so a lot of times it gets very lonely and very frustrating and overwhelming. And I'm sitting here alone instead of going out and doing things, you know? So it's like I have to more purposely make sure that I'm going out to try different things and to keep having the adventures and also to really live the fact that it's not just about doing things, it's about shifting your mindset with an adventure attitude. It is very hard sometimes. And yes, I do get unmotivated. So that's when I have to pull a lot of my tools of how to, you know, not get into the whole sinking into depression and saying, this is just not worth it, because I know it's worth it. So, you know, I do practice yoga and that helps me a lot. I also have my spiritual side. I'll ask my angels, as they call them, or my spirit guides. And I keep getting messages from the universe in all sorts of different ways that I have to keep going forward with this. So that is my inspiration. And a lot of times, like, all right, I might be depressed or sad or lonely today, but it's not going to last very long. And I'll do these other things to help me move out of those thoughts and get back into the moment. Learning that worry is fear of the future, and you can't control any of that. So if you get back into your current moment, it's so much easier to be happy and be grateful for what you do have. And then it's like, then I can go, oh yeah, this is what my mission in life is to do. And then I have to figure it out. Or, you know, something comes to me and says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I also give myself all these deadlines. So this 2018, I decided to be consistent with my writing. So I know that I have to publish every Wednesday. I keep getting so much advice. It's like, oh, write a whole bunch of blogs at once, batch them, and then you can trickle them out. I don't write that way, at least not yet. So there are times where I'm up until midnight on Tuesday writing. And, you know, sometimes the week before I'll be saying, okay, I'm going to write about XYZ. And then it just doesn't come out. And then all of a sudden what I do want to write about comes about, you know, like Monday afternoon saying, okay, this is what we're going to write about. So it's hard for me to write a whole bunch of blogs all at once just because of how I currently write, my writing style. I'm learning. I mean, that's the whole adventure of owning your business, is that you grow and you learn as you go along. And that's what's really exciting, as opposed to my old career where there was the stress of making sure you performed and what have you done for me lately. This is more about taking care of myself and doing what's good for my business as well as what's good for me. So there's been a lot of times where it's been really hard, but you know you're in your passion when you decide what shit sandwich is okay to eat. You know, it's like, what's your shit sandwich? I can't remember who did the whole thing, but it just made so much sense. It's like, okay, so my shit sandwich is I'm going to be sitting here alone sometimes, and I'm going to be overwhelmed with not knowing how to run my own business sometimes, but I get to do it. It's for me. Like, everything is my bottom line, as opposed to the CEO of Time Inc., who had a $20 million renovation on his country house at the time that he's laying off hundreds of people. I don't want to be working for someone else who doesn't give a hoot about me. I'm working for myself. And I, in turn, when I hire people to help me in my business, they're usually also independent entrepreneurs. So I'm helping like the subculture of other people who are not huge corporations and who are working for themselves and their own bottom line. And it's amazingly satisfying to do that.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Stacey Newman Weldon. Find out how you can get out of your rut by taking adventures and turn life is hard into life is fun at AdventureWednesdays.com. Now here's more of our conversation with Stacey. What's your secret to a rewarding life?
Probably the best thing for me to say is to have gratitude. I'm not into a whole lot of the materialistic things. It's not about the big house. It's not about the job title. It's not about, you know, the fancy cars. I don't find that stuff rewarding. I find enjoying myself, being around family. But oftentimes it comes down to just being really grateful for what I do have as opposed to what I don't have. And when you have like a curiosity and a childlike wonder about things, everything seems fabulous and great. I'm grateful that I discovered adventure. I'm grateful for the adventures I've had. I'm grateful for helping others find adventures. I'm grateful I have a house with a super host Airbnb. You know what I mean? It's a lot of things like that that just really make you feel rewarded.
Do you have a mantra that you live by?
Life's an adventure. Dare it. That phrase is actually from a poem called Life Is, and it is attributed to the Saint Mother Teresa, even though rumor has it that she didn't actually write it, but she definitely promoted it. And so it's a whole thing about what life is. And so the line that stuck out to me was life is an adventure, period. Dare it. It just makes a whole lot of sense to me because I like adventure and I like to dare myself to try things differently. That's really the one that sticks out, is the one I like to live by, the one that I have posted on my bedroom door.
What's been your biggest professional challenge in starting the business, and how did you overcome it?
Well, I think I touched on one of my challenges as being, I guess, grieving my corporate career and stepping into the fact that I can start my own business and I have something important to say and that others want to hear it, you know, stepping into my own power about that. I did have a whole sort of meltdown of who the heck am I to be doing this, which from what I understand is a big thing for a lot of entrepreneurs to go through. And we each have to find our own answers to it. For me, you know, when I say, oh, who the heck am I to teach this? I'm not a therapist. I'm not a life coach. I'm not an adventure guide. I'm not a tour guide. You know, I don't have any of those accreditations, but I have a lifetime of experience. And a lot of the way I present things and have learned things are based on science. So it's like, who am I not to be sharing myself this way? So that's really I think the biggest thing that I've had to overcome was the self-doubt that this was a worthwhile project. And I'm, you know, there's still days where I have to overcome it. And a lot of it too is just, you know, on the other side, it's also the switch from becoming my own personal business versus selling another product. My entire career was selling magazine advertising. So I was always selling a product, not selling myself. And now I'm selling myself. But it's also, I'm a one-woman show. So I have to be my own HR department. I have to be my own payroll department. I have to be my own IT department, which is the biggest pain in the neck. I have to be my own content director and event coordinator and social media coordinator. So there's just so much to do and so much to learn. It gets overwhelming. And so, you know, I'm learning, you know, this year I've been learning consistency, and I've also learning how to better organize things so I can get things done in a timely manner or organized manner and a lot of things like that. So there's a lot to learn. And also when you're, you know, marketing yourself like through Facebook or social media, they change things so fast that you think you have a grip on it, and all of a sudden it's just completely different. You know, sometimes I get really distracted with trying to keep up with it. And other times I'm like, no, I just need to hire somebody. And I haven't quite gotten that point yet either. But it's also fun. I mean, I do like learning a lot of these things. It's fun. And every challenge is a lesson to be learned. That's one of my other things I like to say. Instead of saying it's a problem, you switch it around and say it's a lesson to be learned. And then that way it doesn't seem as overwhelming. It's just there's so many lessons when you're learning to run your own business, like from technology to exactly who your demographic is and how to reach them and, you know, what's the best way to reach them. And then when you come up with this fabulous idea, getting it out there into the world and saying, okay, where's my tribe? Show up. That kind of thing.
Is there one thing that you know now that you really wish you knew when you started out?
I wish I had paid attention to the consistency earlier, because that's how you grow your business, is being consistent, consistently publishing, consistently showing up and things like that. And I guess I wish I had paid attention to that, or had learned earlier that you can't just make a living off of just your blog, that I had started growing that business faster, sooner, so that I could jump off to the other businesses that will bring in more revenue. That would be the thing I wish I had known earlier, was it was the consistency.
What kind of lessons did you learn from your parents and from your mother, especially when you were a kid and you were growing up, about what a girl could and couldn't do?
Yeah, that is the funny thing. I grew up, you know, with my in the 60s, where my parents were considered the hippies in this puritanical Catholic town. My father was always like, "You're a girl, it doesn't matter. You can do anything. You can be president." And then when I wanted to go play baseball, he wouldn't go fight town hall for me. They said, "Oh no, you're a girl, go play softball." I'm like, "No, I want to play with my neighborhood friends, you know, and they're all boys. Let me go play baseball." But I was always a very aggressive person. And I remember just recently, you know, just within probably the past 10 years, my father saying to me, I should have been the boy in the family because I was the one that moved to the city, the one that had the big job, the one that did all these things. And my brother was actually more the one that was really great with the domestic arts. I mean, he's an amazing sewer and he's a great cook and, you know, all that kind of stuff that I struggle with. So there was always this kind of, yeah, the role plays of what boys can do and what girls can do was always a big thing. And also in my career sales, I always knew that the salaries were, even though I earned a decent amount of money, I was never making as much as my male counterparts. And that was always hard. I guess that's one of the reasons I like, you know, having my own business, because I'll pay myself really well. It's like the whole thing about what's going on with the feminism now is there's a whole paradigm shift happening. And to me, it's like it's about time that the world is catching up, that women are becoming more empowered or coming into their own power. The whole shift is really amazing to me. And I guess that is part of my mission, is to help move that along by having women shift their attitude towards adventure. It's a way of empowering them also, that they can feel they can do anything. They can overcome whatever issues they're dealing with in their own life. I guess part of who I want to help are the women who aren't really walking down all the self-help aisles already, that they know that there's something there that's stopping them from living a life of fun and feeling good about themselves. I want them to help start down their unique path of self-care and self-empowerment and finding what they find as their own sense of adventure, because we deserve to do what we want. And honestly, the way I look at a lot of what's going on in the world sort of reflects like what I saw in my own personal journey. A lot of it is like you have to deconstruct to reconstruct. So a lot of times when I look at the world and it seems like America is imploding, it's you know, being destroyed. And it's like, well, it almost has to be in order for it to reconstruct, to come up and be built bigger, where there is more awareness and there is more equality without it being a question. It's going to be messy and it's going to be very hard for a lot of people because nobody likes change. But you almost have to have something catastrophic in order for, like the Phoenix Rising, to come back up out of it. Honestly, I feel like this whole paradigm shift of women taking their power is such a good thing. And my mission is to help that along.
Did you have influential female role models when you were a kid?
Maybe I did, in their own ways. I can't really say that I can point to any of them in particular. My grandmother was a great role model. She did a lot of things that were against the norm of the times. Like, she got divorced in a time when women didn't do that. And she went on and had a great life. And she was always full of laughter and had ways of bringing the family together. So the family didn't really fall apart, even though after the divorce and all that. My mother was definitely influential because she's an artist and she fueled our sense of creativity. And I know that it's really, you know, part of why I like to look at adventure in my own backyard is she would always take us to, like, we would play tourist in the towns that we lived in. And, you know, like, she never took any of that for granted. So we would go to like the Old North Bridge and look at it as if we had traveled across the country to come see it. And she did the same thing in my own hometown. That type of thing was always, you know, it's such a great way to look at things. It's like, oh, we're right here. And just because we can see it every day doesn't mean we shouldn't go see it. It's always like, oh, we should stop and do that someday. But she was always like, no, let's just do it now.
And what about cultural heroines? Anybody in pop culture that influenced you?
Carol Burnett was one of my favorites, probably because of her laugh. And she was always funny and she ran her own show. Susan Sarandon is actually one of my favorite actresses. And I always admired her independence and her strong intellect and her individual thinking and being herself. So I've always admired her in like her different movies. And then when I found out she also goes to Burning Man, of course, I like her even that much more.
What do you think is the biggest issue for women who are trying to get out of their rut?
Well, the easy answer is their own head, the self-limitations that we put on ourselves. Nobody likes to change, so they'll do everything they can to avoid trying to change. It's the comfort that they have in their discomfort. The devil they know is better than the devil they don't know. So for people who want to change or get out of their ruts, they're happier complaining about it than they are actually trying to change it. So that's probably the biggest thing. And then they'll fall into the I can't do it, playing victim and saying, woe is me, this is my life, as opposed to saying, what can I do about it? So a lot of times that's the biggest thing. It's like the self-limitations that they put on themselves. And whether it's because they grew up saying, well, you're only a girl, you can only do this, or girls or women are meant to be in the kitchen, or the story that you're brought up with that you're not good enough. But really, it's if they're stuck in a rut, a lot of times it's just their own thinking that keeps them from looking at things differently. So change isn't easy. I mean, I worked at the Weight Watchers company for 9 years, and that was one of the things that they had to battle with, because they were like, all right, we got to get women to come to our support meetings for at least 13 weeks, because 13 weeks is when they start to actually change their habits. And then that's when the big losses, weight losses, come in. And that's true of any habit. You have to keep doing it and being persistent, or as I said earlier, consistent, before things would come. But it's also an awareness that you need to change it, and then practicing the habit, making it a habit later, that it's okay to shift and change.
What's your definition of success?
My definition of success is definitely not a materialistic one. I guess it would be living the life where I'm allowed to follow my passions, whatever they are, and being fulfilled in doing that. I don't see like I have to be happy every single day. I don't definitely have to have material things. I've already felt like I've succeeded at so many things that it's not like I feel like I'm striving for a new goal. I enjoy every success along the way. You know, the success of seeing somebody having an aha moment, seeing my children do well or be themselves, probably a better way to put it. I've already had like the big job and I have the house and I've had a car and all that. And that doesn't make me feel like I was successful. I think success is really more about feeling fulfilled with the people who are in my life that are happy and make me happy, and that I'm happy when I'm around them.
What do you think is your proudest career achievement?
I guess this really is establishing my course, the Adventure Solution, because I've seen the women shift their own mindset and become happier people because of it. I mean, in my corporate career, I always tried to choose companies that sort of had a mission of helping others, like working at Parents Magazine helped parents be better parents. Working at Weight Watchers helped people become healthier people. So I've always enjoyed that type of thing. In my corporate career, I received all sorts of different kinds of honors. I guess looking back now, it's like, I really like the fact that I can help people shift their mindset and have a happier life.
What advice would you give to a woman who's afraid to step out of her comfort zone?
It's hard to be a generic advice, because I always feel everybody's journey is different. And the woman who's afraid to step out of her rut, I almost feel like saying, why not? What's the worst that could happen? That it can be done in baby steps. Like for me, I was so afraid that going on an adventure meant taking a backpack and leaving everything behind, and it's not. It was all about baby steps of how to shift how I looked at the world. So, you know, it was like one little thing at a time, but consistently doing it, so that I'm a different person now than I was 7 years ago. So the biggest, I guess, would be, why not try it? What's the worst that could happen?
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Stacey Newman Weldon. Find out how you can get out of your rut by taking adventures and turn life is hard into life is fun at AdventureWednesdays.com. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.